Unlock your Bible. Discover the true meaning of life. Learn the cause of world problems and the astounding solution. Prove for yourself what the future holds. In the Trumpet Literature Library, you will find answers to life's most important questions. Explore these vital titles on Trumpet Bookshelf.
Welcome to Trumpet Bookshelf. I'm Grant Turgeon. We're broadcasting to you live this morning from the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus here in Edmond, Oklahoma. You can get the live stream of this radio station from anywhere at kpcg.fm. What a week it has been. It just goes by so fast every time, it seems like, here at headquarters in Oklahoma. And probably to a lot of you as well. It is a busy life that we try to live. What if your stubbornness prevented you from hearing the most important truth in the entire universe? The Apostle Paul had to correct the Hebrews for having this very problem. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul is writing to them about Melchizedek, who is also the Word, who is also Jesus Christ, our high priest. And in Hebrews 5, verse 11, Paul says, of whom, speaking of Melchizedek, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. I've tried to think what exactly Paul might have told the Hebrews about our high priest, about Melchizedek, if the Hebrews had just been willing to listen. How much more could they have understood about their future if they were just willing to hear about it? The sobering part about that correction is that it's not just for 2,000 years ago. Hebrews is a book that is for this end time specifically. We've talked about that on this show. And of course, you can learn all about that in Mr. Gerald Fleury's free booklet or book titled The Book of Hebrews, What Jesus Christ is Doing Today. That book is available for free at thetrumpet.com. But it does prove that this message in Hebrews is for us today. So when Paul is correcting the Hebrews back then, we can't just look at that and think, oh, well, they must not have been very well behaved. They sure didn't care enough like they should have about God's truth, because it's a warning to us too. It applies to us right now. In fact, there was a man in this end time who delivered this same specific correction to God's people. In his Pentecost sermon in 1985, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong corrected God's church. He said, God cannot start the kingdom of God until he first trains teachers. And he has called you and me to become those teachers. That's why we're the first fruits. We are called to become teachers. And as Mr. Fleury points out here in the Hebrews book, Mr. Armstrong often said that God's church is a teacher's college. So even for those of you listening who have never had the chance to attend Herbert W. Armstrong College today, just by attending services with the Philadelphia Church of God, or even just intaking the materials that this church produces, magazines, radio programs, TV program, websites, all kinds of literature, really you're putting yourself through a training course, very much like an entire college curriculum. We, of course, have a correspondence course that's available for free. So that will just lead you right through all the fundamental teachings of God and of the Bible. Being a part of this work and this church and this college is all about being trained to teach. Mr. Armstrong tried so hard to teach people during his time about their future, about this job that they could have, to teach the entire world. The entire world does not know this precious truth right now. We're trying to get it out to them, but most of their minds are not open to it yet. Our main impact will be in the future. We're training to be teachers today so that we can actually be really high-level teachers in the future. Now, the Apostle Paul corrected the Hebrews, telling them basically, you should be eating meat spiritually. But instead, you're just being fed with milk. Mr. Armstrong corrected the church the same way. Imagine that. When you go out to a nice restaurant, you probably are likely to order a steak. But a baby just feeds off of milk, fed by his mother or from a bottle. So there's a pretty clear distinction there. Adults eat steak, babies drink milk. It's the same thing spiritually. If we are mature spiritually, we can start to understand more and more depth because God will teach it to us. Like Paul said, he just could not tell the Hebrews more about Melchizedek because they hadn't even gotten past the basics yet. They didn't even understand the fundamentals. So how could Paul dive into the depths of this incredible subject of Melchizedek if they didn't understand the very first steps, if they hadn't taken the very first steps yet? This was something that really did frustrate Mr. Armstrong. You can see the duality here. Paul, 2,000 years ago, correcting the Hebrews, and Mr. Armstrong, just a few decades ago, correcting God's church for the same exact thing. Totally different environments, totally different parts of the world, but still, two groups of people in God's church who failed to understand what they were supposed to be learning, who failed to love the truth enough to actually advance past the basics during Paul's day and also during Mr. Armstrong's time. This is a ubiquitous problem, something that just transcends the ages. And Mr. Armstrong noticed, when he tried to go back to the beginning of the Bible, when he tried to go back to teaching about the two trees of Genesis, you have the tree of life and essentially what you could also call the tree of death, from which everything we see around us in the entire world and in the entire universe developed. There's a tiny group of people today that is choosing from the tree of life. But on the other hand, the entire rest of the world is taking from that tree of death. From this simple instruction in the book of Genesis, Mr. Armstrong tried to teach God's people why the world around them is the way it is, why it is dark, why it is suffering, why there is so much needless pain. But every time he tried to teach from those basics, you could almost hear a gasp of frustration from the audience. Oh, we have to go back to Genesis again. There he goes talking about the two trees. And I've talked with people who were there while Mr. Armstrong was speaking, and they literally could hear people pretty much voicing their frustration while Mr. Armstrong was speaking to them, just muttering and murmuring while he was telling them to turn in their Bibles to the book of Genesis. Mr. Armstrong had to correct these people because they just thought they were too good for this biblical truth. Here's what he said in that Pentecost 1985 sermon. You were called to become a student. You were called to learn how to save others when God's kingdom comes. When Jesus is sitting on the throne of this earth. Brethren, you don't get it. 6 months later, Mr. Armstrong died. Did God's people get it? What happened right after Mr. Armstrong died? It took about 3 years or so for the entire church to fall apart. I certainly highly encourage you to go to thetrumpet.com and find the latest Key of David TV program. It's titled Why the Great Falling Away. Mr. Fleury pinpoints the one specific reason why the church fell apart so quickly. And I don't want to give that away, but it really does relate a lot to this message of Hebrews. Notice here, we're talking about Hebrews chapter 5. And this is just the start of the correction. The first four chapters hardly had any correction at all. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 5, Paul is pointing out to these people what they're doing wrong. This is how Mr. Armstrong always was too. He encouraged people to live the abundant life. He gave them hope. He gave them vision. He gave them precious, valuable understanding. And then, after that, he would also sometimes give correction. That way, we can see that correction as love. Love straight from God the Father to us. When we already understand what that correction is for, it's so much easier to take, isn't it? That's why God always gives the vision, then the correction. But the people, right here just a few decades ago, under Mr. Armstrong, didn't want to hear anything. They wouldn't even take in the vision. So, of course, they had to be corrected even more. How tragic this is to see such a disdain for the basics in God's own people. And really, think about that truth of the two trees. You have God's way versus Satan's way. You have life versus death. Those people listening to Mr. Armstrong thought they understood it, thought that was simple enough. But if you really think about it, you could get so much more depth from it for many more years. It's not something that you should just gloss over in 5 seconds like they did. And where are they now? Just look at the fruits. They're not following God. They're not giving His truth to the entire world. They're in big trouble because they thought they got it when they didn't. So we have to ask ourselves, if we get it, what's our attitude toward the basics? Do we care about mastering the basics? Studying the Bible, eagerly listening and understanding when a minister of God is teaching this to us? When a minister goes back to the two trees or starts to expound on the God family versus the Trinity, these fundamental foundational doctrines, what is your attitude when that starts? When someone starts talking about those things, do you think you already know it? Backwards and forwards, up and down, and you don't need to hear about it anymore? Are you really sure that you could teach it right now if you had to? If someone asked you a question, or if someone told you to get on the radio and explain it, are you really sure you could? That's very corrective for me to think about. Haven't you ever gone through a book or a booklet produced by the PCG and been astounded at how much of it you hadn't even thought about within the last year, hardly at all? How many details that you vaguely remember going over before, but are pretty much a jolt to you the next time you read them? We're human. We forget. It's certainly useful to review. There's no limit on how much we can review to get these basics down. And when we have that right foundation, God can give us so much more. He reveals, He prophesies, He opens up our minds to so much more. If we value the basics, if we hold fast to those fundamental doctrines, God will just pour out new truth upon us if He sees us valuing the truth we already have. Mr. Armstrong said here in this same sermon, "Has my teaching been in vain, brethren? Sometimes I wonder. I get terribly discouraged. I don't think you get it." In this book of Hebrews that we're talking about today, chapter 4, Mr. Fleury talks about how he was there when Mr. Armstrong said this. Mr. Fleury writes, "I remember thinking, is that possible? How could God's own church members not get it? But look at what happened." Mr. Armstrong died 6 months later, and almost immediately the church began turning against what he taught. How do you explain that? Again, the fruits prove it true. And by the way, this chapter 4 of the Hebrews book, available for free at thetrumpet.com, is titled Called to Be Teachers. Chapter 4, Called to Be Teachers. That's the vision. That's the end goal. That's what we're striving for. That's why the basics are important. If we have those basics, God will expound. He'll open up our minds to truth that we never even thought of before, that we never even could have imagined. But that future does seem worthwhile, right? Doesn't it seem worth repetition and review when we are in training to be teachers? Doesn't that future, alongside God and Christ, for eternity, ruling all mankind, beautifying the earth and the universe, seem worth a little bit of correction? Imagine your greatest day, physically, the greatest day of your entire life. Now, to understand how great your everyday spiritual life will be in God's family, multiply your greatest physical day by infinity. Every day, just overflowing with love and joy and peace. That can be your future. If you love the basics, if you embrace correction and use it to change, that seems worth it, doesn't it? Mr. Fleury continues here in this chapter 4. And I really would encourage you to go to thetrumpet.com and download this for free, or request your free copy. But Mr. Fleury continues here talking about hope, talking about confidence. When we get to the point that we love what God is teaching us, when we just open the Bible and believe what it says and just obey what it tells us to do, when we just see these promises that God makes and then go to Him in prayer and remind Him of these promises, our lives can be filled with confidence. We can know without a doubt that God is on our side. We don't have to fear anyone but God. When we replace that fear with hope, like Mr. Fleury writes about here, well, that really changes everything. It changes our daily outlook. It really does give us vision on a higher plane. Hebrews 6 verse 19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil. So this is a kind of hope that can anchor you. You don't have to drift out into sea during this physical life. You don't have to be buffeted about by circumstance, a victim of forces beyond your control, because you can have God on your side, anchoring you where you should be. This hope is based on that which enters into that within the veil, as this verse says, Hebrews 6, verse 19. Mr. Fleury writes, when Christ died, His blood reconciled us to the Father, who is behind the veil of the Holy of Holies. After His resurrection, Christ went directly into that holiest place where His Father is. Several places in Hebrews say that He now intercedes for you behind the veil, in the holiest place in the whole universe. Mr. Fleury continues, think about this. You have access to God the Father. If not for Christ's sacrifice, even those of us involved in God's work now would be cut off like the rest of the world. So God is working with a few people today. And because of Christ's sacrifice, He will soon work with all people. But imagine if that plan hadn't gone the way that they wanted it to. Imagine if Christ had sinned. Imagine if His death didn't pay for our sins, and they only paid for His own personal sins. We wouldn't have any more hope. We wouldn't be able to see beyond this physical life. We have to be thinking about that sacrifice all the time, especially with Passover coming up, the memorial of Christ's suffering and death, and what that means to us. That's coming up just in the beginning of April, just barely over a month away. We have to be thinking about what this means, what this sacrifice really did make possible. We now have direct access to God the Father. That's the source of our confidence. That's how we have hope. It's the only way that our future can actually take place. Again, a spiritual life where every day is infinity times better than our best physical day. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 reinforces that. It's talking about if we have hope only in this physical life, we are of all men most miserable. If we place our treasures on this earth instead of in heaven, the end of it is just misery. There is no vision. There is no hope. There is no lasting fulfillment. It's just money that disappears when we die, or other physical goods that do not outlive us. There has to be something more, and we have to look to that. especially now when correction is coming on the world. We have to understand this truth. We have to love the basics. We have to connect with God. Build that hope in our lives. Not only does it make this life better and open up a wonderful future alongside God, but it also helps us to avoid suffering in the short term too. So today we've been talking about chapter 4 of the book of Hebrews, what Jesus Christ is doing today, available for free at thetrumpet.com. Chapter 4 is titled Called to be Teachers. That's our future. That's our hope. That's something that we can really build every single day. These abilities as teachers, this love for the truth that we are soon going to share with all mankind. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Trumpet Bookshelf.
You've been listening to Trumpet Bookshelf. Please email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for new episodes every Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time.